Hello, everyone. So we will continue from last week. The class is sponsored by Mr. Anonymous. So thank you, Mr. Anonymous, or Mrs. Anonymous, I don't know. But thank you very much for this generous gesture. So we are on page 2. We spoke about Abraham's family, and we spoke about the difference of opinions in terms of what exactly is the background for his ascending to some extent to be the father of our nation. But then we started the Ramban, and the Ramban was very focused on the location, on his birthplace, if you remember. He says there is no such a place, Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim is basically an invention of the rabbis based on a case or event that took place there, which was throwing Avram to the furnace, to the fire. And he claimed that, no, Avram was always where? In Haran. That's where the family stayed. Milcah and Nahor stayed there. They had children. And later on, Avram sends Eliezer to Haran, to Aram Naharaim, to Nahor, his brother. And he always also wants to say that Avram was known as Avram HaIvri from the other side of the river. He was not Avram HaKasdi. Okay, so that was the last thing we saw last week. Okay, so now we are still on page 2. On Ramban, we are really, let's call it the second paragraph where it says Aval Be'emet. You see Aval Be'emet? After it says Gimel. You have it?
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The sixth line from the top. Aval Be'emet. Eretz Moladetam, Eretz Aram Hi, Be'ever HaNahar. So the truth is that their birthplace is where? In Eretz Aram, Be'ever HaNahar, on the other side of the river, Ve'i Minachalat Avotav Me'olam. And that was their inheritance forever. V'katuv Omer B'vnei Shem, and when he talks about the descendants of Shem, he says, Ve'i Moshavam, and their dwelling place was where? Mimasha Bo'acha Sfara Har HaKedem, Ve'u Shem Kolel, כדכתיב בארצותם לגוייהם. וכתוב, מן ארם ינחני בלק מלך מואב מעררי קדם, והנה הוא ואבותיו מן הארץ האי מעולם. So he says two things. He says that also when Bilam, the magician, later on in Sefer Bamidbar, says that Balak, the king of Moab, called him from where? מן ארם ינחני בלק, which can be interpreted in two ways. מן ארם from that location, that I was there as well. And we mentioned my theory that perhaps Bilam and Avraham were from the same place, from the same location, and each one of them had the opportunity to be great, and they were both were great. Just Avraham was great positively, Bilam was great negatively. Or we can say that Bilam says, Min Aram Yancheni Balak, that Balak wanted me to, in a way, to conspire, to manipulate Aram. Because who came from Aram? Avraham. And Balak asked me to what? To kill Avraham's nation. So that's how the Ramban basically says that what? That Avraham was never from Ur Kasdim, he was from Aram. And then it says, Umatzinu Batalmud in Baba Batra, Ki Avraham nechbash bekuta. Avraham was prisoned in Kuta. Vezot ha'ir einena be'eretz ha'kasdim. And this city is not in the land of the Kasdim. Dechtiv, Vayavo Melech Ashur mi Bavel v'mikuta u'me'ava u'mechamat. V'katuv sham, v'anshei Bavel asu et sukot bnot v'anshei kut asu et nargal. Aval yir'e ki yir be'ever ha'nahar be'eretz Aram Naharaim. So it says that Avram was prisoned not in Ur Kasdim, but rather in Kuta. Where is Kuta? In Aram Naharaim, which is probably around Syria. We said, "Ki Haran shem ir be'eretz Aram Naharaim dechtiv vayelech el Aram Naharaim el ir Nahor she'i b'Haran." Ve'od, chakarnu ve'yadanu al pi talmidim rabim shayu yoshvei ha'aretz ha'it. Look, the historical facts that the Ramban gives you. He says, "What? I didn't just make up this idea that you know Ur Kasdim never existed and it's Avram was never from there. Yadanu." וחקרנו וידענו על פי תלמידים רבים שהיו יושבי הארץ ההיא. He investigated students who lived in that city. Now it's interesting, where was the Ramban? And then Eretz Yisrael. I don't know exactly the route or the route, really, of the cruise that the Ramban took, okay? And I don't know what company. But I will tell you that he, in order to make a geographical decision, he asked the people that live there. And what did he ask them? Ki Kuta ir gdola ben Haran uvein Ashur. Kuta is a big city between Haran and Ashur, Assyria, which is, we call it Syria. Rechoka mimedinat Bavel. It's far away, it's distance from Bavel. What is Bavel? Iraq. Vebeina veben Haran kmo shisha yamim. It's like 6 days walk. Which now makes sense because we know Syria and Iraq obviously sharing a border. But this border is what? It's a modern border. It's when the big empires of Great Britain and France basically decided to want to redirect the map. But Syria and Iraq, I can understand that from wherever in Babel, I don't know exactly where is Babel. Some people want to say it's Baghdad, but I've no idea. I'm not an expert on it at all. It makes sense. It's a 6 days walk or on a donkey to go from Babel to what? From Iraq to where? To to Syria. אבל היא נכללת בעבר הנהר בעבור היותה בין ארם נהריים ובנהר פרט גבול ארץ ישראל ובין חידקל ההולך קדמת אשור. So then he says the following. והנה תרח, הוליד בניו הגדולים אברהם ונחור בעבר הנהר ארץ אבותיו. So תרח, Avram's father, gave birth to Avram and Nahor where? In his birthplace, which was where? ארם נהריים. והלך לו עם אברהם בנו אל ארץ כסדים. And then he left Aram Naharaim, I don't know why, and he went to Iraq, to Ur Kasdim. ושם נולד לו בנו הקטן הרן. And there where הרן was born, ונשאר נחור בנו בעבר הנהר בעיר חרן, או שנולד בעיר ההיא, או שנתיישב במקוטה, וזה טעם בארץ מולדתו, באור כסדים, כי שם מולדתו של הרן לבדו. I will tell you, I intentionally brought this Ramban, which is very detailed. And you ask yourself, באמת? Like, come on, you have nothing else to do? Answer. First and foremost, the Ramban felt that it's very important, just in terms of history, to try to locate Avraham's birthplace. And when you locate Avraham's birthplace, not Be'ur Kasdim, you have a problem. You need to find another birthplace. A. B. You need to find the reason why you will not say the simple understanding of the Torah, which is talks about what? Ur Kasdim. Third. After you found the reason, you need to try to explain so why Ur Kasdim is mentioned and why Nahor found a place where in Aram Naharaim and why Avraham is called Avraham Ha'ivri. So the Ramban did the following. He said, first and foremost, Avraham was never born in Ur Kasdim because if it's true, he was a Kasdi, not a Shemite. And he should come from Yefet or from Ham. But we know Avraham came obviously from whom? Shem. A. B. His birthplace was Aram Naharaim. Why? It's interesting. I don't know why the Ramban does not bring it, or maybe he does later on. But when Avram sends Eliezer, he says to him what? Ki im el arzi ve'el moladeti telech. Ve'lakachta isha livni le'itzchak. You should go to my birthplace. And where does he go to? Aram Naharaim. So Ramban says Aram Naharaim, it is his birthplace. So what did Avram do in Ur Kasdim? Answer, his little brother, Haran, was born in Ur Kasdim. But the missing piece of the puzzle is, why Terach, Avram's father, left Aram Naharaim to go to Iraq, left his son Nahor in Aram Naharaim, and only took Avram to Ur Kasdim. Why? Famine? You can't say famine because if it was famine, you will not take one son and you leave the other one, unless you don't like him. But there's no indication for that.
It's a pasuk that says that he only took...
Not at all. It says, Vayikach, really the pasuk says, Vayikach, Vayikach terach et Avram bno ve'et Lot ben Haran ben... No. Very good. Thank you. Take a look on page number one. Take a look on verse Lamed Aleph. Vayikach Terach et Avram beno. Terach took Avram, his son, ve'et Lot ben Haran ben beno, and Lot his grandson, ve'et Sarai kalato eshet Avram beno, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, ve'yetzu itam me'ur kasdim lalechet arza Kanaan. Who is missing? Nahor is missing, Avram's brother, which means the Ramban based his interpretation on this pasuk. Very good. I didn't pay attention to it. Thank you. Very good. So the Ramban makes a map. Oh, I don't have a map. Okay, we have an imaginary map. Okay, so Terach gave birth to Avraham and Nahor where in Aram Naharaim. For whatever reason, with no idea why. By the way, you know what? I have a theory. I'm not sure about the theory or not. Perhaps Nahor and Milcah already had children. So they already resided where? In Aram Naharaim. Then, and it says here, Sarai Kalato, Eshet Avram Beno. And before that it says, Sarai Akara, Ein Lavalad. So in a way, maybe he was looking for some kind of a financial opportunity, a business opportunity, or maybe he thought that Avram wants to spread monotheism also in Kasdim, in Iraq. So he takes Avraham and Sarai, couple without kids, they go to where? To Ur Kasdim. In Ur Kasdim he has another son by the name of Haran, not sure if that's the same wife or not, because it doesn't say that Terach took his wife. And then what happened? Haran dies, and Terach and his son Avram and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and Lot, his grandson, they move back to where? To Aram Naharaim. And that explains why Nahor is not mentioned. Haran was born in Ur Kasdim. Yeah, that's what the Ramban says. A, there's no chronological order, that's A. B, maybe he knew about one or two, but there is a list of more than one or two, so maybe he didn't know. Third, perhaps on the way to Aram Naharaim, Terach already died, and then God says to Avram, go from Aram Naharaim to Israel, but he didn't see yet Nahor. Nahor sat here, and he just came into the city and he didn't even say hello, he went straight to Eretz Israel. That also might be. So we have speculation. So I just don't like so much the answer of that there is no chronological order. Okay, so everyone is with me? Not with me, with the Ramban? Okay, so then he continues. והעניין מקובל הזה נמצא גם כן בספרי קדמוני הגויים, כמו שכתב הרב במורה נבוכים, כי הזכירו בספר עבודת העיקרים המצריים, כי אברהם אשר נולד בקוטה, חלק על דעת ההמון שהיו עובדים השמש, ונתן המלך אותו בבית הסוהר, והיה עמהם בתוכחות ימים רבים שם. אחר כך פחד המלך שישחיד עליו ארצו, ויסיר בני אדם מאמונתם, וגירש אותו אל קצה ארץ כנען, אחרי שלקח כל הונו. Did you see what the Ramban does? This is incredibly amazing. The Ramban says, you know what? I also looked at Sfarim Chitzoinim. And the Rambam brings it in the Guide of the Perplexed. There is a book of history of Egypt. And there is a mentioning to Avraham who disputed all the worshippers, the people who worship the sun, and he argued with them to the extent that the king had enough from him and he put him in prison. And he saw that Avraham is still like preaching the, I don't know, who else there. And he basically expelled him. And he took all his money. And that Kuta, the city that the Ramban mentions before, is probably somewhere between Syria and Egypt. Because if the Egyptians has this legend, it needs to be in their territory. So what the Ramban does, it's an amazing thing. He says basically there are testimonies, historical testimonies, that Avram was somewhat of a faith preacher. And the king had enough from him, put him in prison, not in a furnace, not in fire. Unlike all the other Midrashim, put him in prison and basically expelled him after he took all his property. That's, by the way, also very interesting. Why, when we talk about Avram going from Israel to Egypt, when he says to Sarai, I never thought about it until today, when he says to Sarai that, look, you should say, Eshet Yifat, that you should say that you are my sister, because if not, they will kill me. How did he know? So one reason is that it was known. The Egyptians are like people like that. If they see a beautiful wife, they take the wife, they kill the husband. Or because perhaps Avram was already in Egypt once. When? When he was in prison. He knew their nature. And that's why he said to Sarai, you should lie for me. And also we can understand that only after Paro gave Avraham that wealth, that Avraham became what? Wealthy. Because based on that legend, the king of Egypt, or the king of Kuta, take all Avram's property. So Avram was poor. Did you know all of that about Avram? No. Okay, you see? Baruch Hashem, there is something new. Yes. Oh, so he went to his family. Avram's family probably were somewhat of monotheists. Yeah. Nahor.
So they were influenced by Avram.
By Avram, exactly. And Nahor never left. Yeah. Nahor stayed in Aram Naharaim, and that's why he said, go to my family. Yeah. Okay. So the Ramban continues. והנה על כל פנים, במקום ההוא בארץ כסדים נעשה נס לאברהם אבינו. So in that land of the of כסדים, there was a miracle to Abraham, או נס נסתר, שנתן בלב אותו המלך להצילו ושלא יהיה מיתנו, והוציאו אותו מבית הסוהר שילך לנפשו, או נס מפורסם שישלחו לכבשן האש, וניצל כדברי רבותינו. So says Ramban, you can believe whatever you want. A miracle took place to Avram in Ur Kasdim. It was maybe they threw him into the furnace, maybe they put him in prison and then they expelled him, whatever it is. Just one thing I want you to know. He was not born in Ur Kasdim. He was born where? In Aram Naharaim. And the fact is that Avram was known to preach for monotheism. By the way, Avram was not the first monotheist. Adam, Chava, Noach, Shem, Ever, they were monotheists. He was the first one to establish a movement like that, to really to create a public movement. Okay, now. ואל יפתה אותך רבי אברהם בקושיותיו, שאומר שלא סיפר הכתוב זה הפלא, כי עוד אתן לך טעם וראיה בזה וכיוצא בו. אבל הגויים מהם לא הזכירו זה בספרם לפי שהם חולקים על דעתו והיו חושבים בניסו שהוא מעשה כשפים כי עניין משה רבינו עם המצרים בתחילת מעשיו ומפני זה לא הזכיר עוד הכתוב הנס הזה כי היה צריך להזכיר דברי החולקים עליו כאשר הזכיר דברי חרטומי מצרים ולא נתברו דברי אברהם עם מהם כאשר נתברו דברי משה רבינו בסוף. This is an amazing, honest, open commentary of the Ramban. By the way, just as a side note, we only started Bereshit. I will highly recommend to do the Ramban on the Parsha for this year. I mean, I would suggest it to you to do it years before. But the Ramban has a tremendous perush. And he claims the following. He says, one of the discussions that we have about Avram is that, you know what? It's all made up stories. In the Torah itself, there is nothing that talks about any miracles for Avram Avinu. Nothing. Don't you think that the Torah needs to at least hint the fact that Avram was sent into the furnace and was saved, or that he was sent into prison and was saved? I mean, if you tell me that the Torah doesn't care about it, A, they do. Moshe Rabbeinu, all the miracles with Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, put the hand, take the hand, you know, all is discussed. Daniel, that was thrown into the furnace, it's mentioned. Or to the lion's den. So why isn't it that the Torah does not specify any miracles regarding Avraham. So therefore, the Ramban says the following, which is very interesting. The Ramban says, you know why? Because people think that what Avraham did, he did the magic. Ma'asek Shafim. He did magic. And in order to refute them, the Torah will need to bring Avraham's respond to the opinions that says that he did magic. Where does he find that thing? Moshe Rabbeinu. Do you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu did the miracles in front of Pharaoh? You remember what the Torah said? The Torah describes the response from whom? From the Chartumim, the Egyptian magicians. That they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a magician. Until they said what? Etzba Elokim hi. This is the hand of God or the finger of God. If the Torah will mention Avraham's miracles, the Torah will also need to mention what? That the scholars of his time will say what? That it was only magic. And Avraham will need to respond, no, it was not magic, and God will need to prove it until they will say, oh, it was the hand of God. The Torah is not interested in that. That's why the Torah did not mention anything about Avraham's miracles. Oh, very good. You can come up with an answer. We must prove that Moshe is emet in order to have what? The Torah to emet. We must prove that Moshe was not a magician, was not a manipulator, was not a I don't know, whatever you want to call him. He was the true messenger of Hashem. Because without that, you will doubt the entire Torah, which is the principles of our Yahadut. Avraham is miyased ha'uma, is the founding father. It's okay, he didn't give us the Torah. So you want to believe that he was thrown into the furnace and he was alive, or you don't want to believe in that? Your choice. You want to say that he was sent into prison and then the king expelled him? You want to believe in that? Say no. Doesn't change my faith. Doesn't change the commandments. But if you tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu made up something, oh, now I have a problem. So that's the difference between Avraham and Moshe. But also, what the Ramban says, which is so important historically, he says, we are bothered by what the other nations will say about the Torah. Why do you think the Ramban said it? More than just Christianity. The Ramban was put to the task to argue with one of the bishops. He won. He was expelled. He won. And he suffered. But he understood how much he needs to what to protect the fundamentals of Torah. So one of the ideas was, you know, you're talking about Avraham Avinu. You made up this person. The Torah does not say anything about him in terms of all those miracles. That was the claim. So the Ramban had to refute it. And that it finds itself where? In his Pirush on the Torah. The Ibn Ezra wanted to say that it really did not happen. Because if it would, the Torah should say that. I mean, it's like, you know what? Oh, the Torah forgot to mention that, you know, Yahushua was able to stop the sun. I was cynical. I was saying, like, think about a major miracle that the Torah just, you know, forgot to mention. The idea is, when the Torah mentioned those miracles, there is a reason for that, because you need to know that someone is going to refute it, and you need to know how someone is going to protect it. וזהו שאמר הכתוב, אני השם אשר הוצאתיך מאור כסדים לתת לך את הארץ הזאת לרשתה. So, but just one second, so now the Ramban questioned himself. The Ramban spent 20 lines to tell us that what? That Avraham's birthplace was not Ur Kasdim. But the Torah says that אני השם, I am השם, that I took you out from where? From Ur Kasdim. So, that's your birthplace, right? He says, no. כי מילת הוצאתיך תלמד על נס. When Hashem says, הוצאתיך, is not להוציא, to take you out in terms of geographical location, but rather, I made for you a miracle. כי לא אמר אשר לקחתיך מאור כסדים, אבל אמר הוצאתיך. He didn't say, I took you. He says, I saved you. But he didn't say, I saved you. הוצאתיך is what? So what is the difference between lekachticha and otzeticha? Ramban says lekachticha is what? Is I physically took you from your birthplace. Hotzeticha is I figuratively took you out from prison or from danger. And he says, כמו אמר, הוצאתיך מארץ מצרים. I took you out from Egypt. But there, yes, it's a miracle, but it's also what was the Jewish birthplace, at least for that generation. So this idea of the Ramban is a bit challenging. Because I think that the common use of the word lehotzi is what? To take you out, not to make you a miracle. I mean, there are some psukim, for example, lehotzi mimasger nafsham, to take their soul out of distress. So it's more of a miracle. Yes? Lehotzi goy mikerev goy, beotot uvemoftim. Yeah. But there it says beotot uvemoftim, with wonders and miracles. Yeah. Which is good for the Ramban. Yes. However, when I tell you tetzi mipo, what does that mean?
No miracles,
right? So you can say also, and again, I'm not going to argue with the Ramban. His knowledge about Lashon HaTorah is unbelievable. I would say that perhaps the word Leotzi maybe went through some transformations between Lashon HaTorah and Lashon Chachamim, which also might be, or that the word Veotzeticha can be two things. Like, tetze mipo, move, or to take you out with a miracle. Okay. Right, like more than just to get out physically, but it's miracle. Yeah. So then, the Ramban continues, and it says like that. Ve'amar, latet lecha et haaretz hazot lerishta, כי מעט הוציאו אותו מאור כסדים, היה הרצון לפניו יתעלה שיגדלנו, ויתן לו את הארץ ההיא. So from the minute that Hashem took Avram from Ur Kasdim in a miracle way, he wanted to give him the land of Canaan. ותרח אביו ואברהם היה בליבה מן היום הוא שניצל, שילכו אל ארץ כנען, יתרחק מארץ כסדים מפחד המלך. כי חרן קרוב להם, ועם אחד ושפה אחת לכולם, כי לשון ארמית לשניהם, ורצו ללכת אל עם אשר לא ישמע לשונו, המלך ההוא ועמו. Says the Ramban, Avram was wanted politically, and he was afraid from the king who put him in prison, or alternatively, threw him into the furnace. Therefore, Avram and his father wanted to go to where? Not to go back to their birthplace in Aram Naharaim. Why? Because Aram Naharaim also spoke Aramaic, which was like what? Like what they spoke in Babel. He wanted to go to a land, which was the land of Canaan, that was divided to 7 Canaanite nations, which each one of them had a different language. So even if the king is going to send them an email saying, you know, I would like you to extradite Avram back to Babel, they will have no clue how to read it. So they went to Canaan because it was a place of safe haven for Avraham and Nachor. And Avraham and Terach. וזהו טעם, ויצאו איתם מאור כסדים ללכת ארץ הכנען, ויבואו עד חרן. And this is the reason why it says that they went from אור כסדים to go to Canaan, and they reached חרן, אשר שם משפחותיהם ואבותיהם מעולם, וישבו ביניהם ונתעכבו שם ימים רבים. So they went back from Ur Kasdim, from Iraq, back to Aram Naharaim. They stayed with their family. ושם נצטווה אברהם לעשות מה שעלה בדעתו ללכת ארץ הכנען, ועזב את אביו ומת שם בחרן ארצו. So there, Avram was commanded to do what he wanted to do, to go to Canaan. And meanwhile, his father, Terach, died in Haran. And Avram went with Ishto, with his wife, ולוט בן אחיו ארץ הכנען, and Lot to Canaan. וזהו שאמר הכתוב, ויקח את אביכם את אברהם מעבר הנהר, והולך אותו בכל ארץ כנען, כי בעבר הנהר נצטווה בזה, ומשם לקחו והוליכו בכל ארץ כנען. So the Ramban basically says what? He says that Avram's journeys are, birthplace is Aram Naharaim. Miracles took place where? Ur Kasdim / Kuta. Who was born in Ur Kasdim? Haran. Who died in Ur Kasdim? Haran. After his death and the miracle that took place for Avram, Avram and Terach and Sarai and Lot went where? To Canaan, but they stopped in Haran. In Haran, they stayed for a while. Terach died, and Avram was commanded to leave his birthplace and to go to where? To Canaan, like he intended to do. He went to Canaan partially as a commandment of God, and secondly, because he was what? He was afraid of the king of Babel, which was Nimrod at that time, that will try to what? To kill him. But again, he left his birthplace to Ur Kasdim, and we don't know why. Then he came back to his birthplace, and then God told him, Lech lecha me'artzecha, u'mimoladetcha u'mibeit avicha, which is literally from Haran. Yamim rabim, says Ramban. Many days.
So Avram might have just stayed there?
Yeah, Avram stayed there with his father. Now, it might fit to what Robert mentioned last week. You know, we have a little bit of a problem. How come that Avram left his old father by himself? Or with Nahor? Why didn't he do Kibud Horim? Answer is, he did stay until Haran, until Terach died in Haran, and only then he left. Which basically portray Avram as a really righteous person. He was endangering himself by being in Haran because he was afraid that someone will extradite him back to Babel, but he stayed with his father, took care of his father until his death, and then, only then, he went to Canaan, which chronologically doesn't fit. But hashkafically fits well. So, everyone is with me? Okay, good. Turn the page to page 3. Vayamot Haran al pnei Terach aviv be'eretz moladeto be'ur Kasdim. So Rabbeinu Bachyei, or Rabbeinu Bechayei, generation after the Ramban, says the following. It says that the Pasuk says that Haran died while Terach was alive in Ur Kasdim. הכתוב הזה יודיע אותנו מעלתו של אברהם. This pasuk will share with us the praise of Abraham, Abraham's praise, שמסר עצמו למיתה על אמונת השם יתברך. It teaches us that Abraham was willing to give his life because of his faith. How? וילמלא רמז הכתוב הזה, היה ראוי להודיענו תחילה מעלתו של אברהם והנהגתו ומידותיו. ואז ויאמר השם אל אברהם, כי איך ייתכן להיות דיבור השם יתברך לאדם ולא הודיענו תחילה מיהו? שהרי בנוח לא בא אליו הדיבור ויאמר אלוקים לנוח עד שהודיענו תחילה מידותיו שהיה איש צדיק תמים. ועל כן בא הרמז בכתוב הזה והעדות על מעלת אברהם בעניין אור כסדים, שעליו היה ראוי שיהיה דיבור השכינה מדבר עמו. I will translate and I will explain. Rabbeinu Bachyei, or Rabbeinu Bechayei, asked a very simple question. Why was Avraham chosen? Answer? What do we know about him? Okay, let's start shlav by shlav, stage by stage. We don't know anything about Avraham. Unlike Noach, that at least there is a testimony, Ish tzadik tamim haya bedorotav, that he was righteous and complete. Avraham comes to the stage by Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetcha. Since when God talks to people that we have no idea who they are? Answer, the remez, the hint for who was Avraham, it says where? Be'eretz moladeto be'ur kasdim. In his birthplace in Ur Kasdim. Now, based on the fact that we know that he was not born in Ur Kasdim, the mentioning of the location of Ur Kasdim comes to teach us something. And that's why the Chachamim came up with this midrash, that what? That Avram was thrown to the furnace in Ur Kasdim and was willing to die for his emunah, for his faith. And this is why he was chosen. So two things. Very good comments. With Eliyahu, he's still not a founding father, so we are less concerned. However, I will tell you that all the Mefarshim are asking the same question. Who is this guy? Eliyahu. Where did he come from? Was he a Navi Zutar? Was he like a new prophet, a young prophet, or he was already an old prophet that everyone knew about him? So the commentaries are really trying to find out who was Eliyahu. We always try to know who is this guy came from. Who is this guy? Second, especially when you have with Noach, Ish Tzadik Tamim, that he was righteous and complete, Avram is being chosen and no reason given. Now, I think your question maybe can be even stronger by saying, if it is so important to know who was Avram, why don't you say anything in the narrative? I need Chazal to come and tell me. I would like to claim something a little different. And I thought about this theory. I'm not sure. I'm yet not sure. I think that Abraham's, what would you say, chosenness was very different than Noah. I think Abraham was chosen after he chose God. Unlike Noah, that God chose him, and then Noah basically became Oved Hashem, Abraham chose God first. Why do I say that? Because of two things. A, I think God wanted to choose someone that chose him first. Because everyone else that he chose before, that didn't choose God yet, disappointed him. Adam, Cain, Hevel, Noach, his children. So that's why. One. Second, perhaps God did not choose Avram yet. He presented him the possibility to be the leader. Only after the last test, it says what? Ata yadati ki yere Elokim ata. Noach was not exactly tested. Adam HaRishon was not exactly tested, one test. Avram was tested again and again. Asara nisyonot, depends how you count and what you include, but 10 trials. Which means what? Hashem really was not quote-unquote sure that Avram will continue to choose him. He wanted to know that Avram will continue to choose God. And perhaps that's why the narrative itself does not specify one thing. Because if you will specify one thing, so you need to explain why God will continue to test him. But by doing so, Avram, you know that he is special. And then you leave the Midrash to do this job. But then the narrative itself at the end says God chose Avraham. Ata yadati ki yireh Elokim ata. Okay, so I will combine both of the comments here. You know me, I'm trying to be very, very honest when it comes to the Parshanuyot. I think what you said has truth to it. Sometimes it was convenient to portray a figure the way we want it in order to have the end result. You see it, by the way, also in halacha. There is what we call a megama. What is megama? Megama is... it's more than tendency. Megama is almost like I'm already... putting the target. Yeah, I have the direction. I know where the sugiya needs to go. For example, I'll just give you an example. who was that? I forgot who wrote the article. I think maybe Fuchs. Talking about the first sugiya in Baba Batra. In the Bavli, not in the Yerushalmi. The first sugiya in the Bavli of Baba Batra talks about what? Talks about the first Mishnah obviously in Baba Batra. Of what? Of two partners who has a shared yard and they want to split it and to build a wall between them. And the reasons to build a wall is hezek reiya. That I claim that you cause me a damage by looking at what I do. So the question in the Gemara is always hezek reiya, shme hezek or lo shme hezek. If can I claim that you are damaging me by looking at my property? It's that considered as a damage. Damage is that I'm going to break this microphone, okay? This is a true, intangible damage. But can you claim that, you know, by looking at what you do, I'm damaging you, okay? At the end, you see that the Gemara's direction is what? Is to say that Hezek Riyah, Shme Hezek. And the Gemara direct the negotiation and the conversation to the conclusion that we already put at the beginning of the sugya. Yeah, and therefore I can force you to build a wall between us of 4 amot, at least 4 amot. If you want to make it higher, you will need to pay for that. But at least 4 amot, which is 2 meters, between us. I'm not talking about the material of the fence. What is the material? But it needs to what? To create a distance between you and me so you don't look at my property. It's very paranoid. In today's world, by the way, it's interesting. I'm not a lawyer, but I know a little bit about zoning issues. And some of the questions that were, not so much even here, but it was more in Memphis, it was, you know, people had pool. And if I built my house a little higher, I can look at your pool. And then there was discussions between the neighbors who needs to grow those bushes and trees to try to cover the pool. Because you're really into my private pool. So, a lot of discussions about it. You can call it paranoid, or you can call it ainara, you can call it, you know, managing in businesses that are not yours, whatever you want to call it. So there is a megama even in halakha. Definitely there is a megama in midrash. Meaning the rabbis had a discussion and a conversation about an issue that they already knew what they want to say. Avram presented the rabbis and the sages a very complicated figure. First, he was not religious. Sorry, he was not observant based on our standards. Very good. But he was chosen, right? Now I'm going to build it up and you will see where I'm aiming. So he was chosen without keeping all the Torah, right? Only the 7 laws of Noah and 2 more, Brit Milah, and 1 more, sorry, Brit Milah, right? He was all about what? Hospitality, kindness, justice. It sounds like what? Non-Jewish religion. So theologically and religiously we have a problem. So you know the rabbis in the Gemara says that Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah before it was given. Now do you think the rabbis really thought that he did Leil HaSeder? His descendants are not yet in Egypt. Okay, so what exactly did he celebrate?
So did they have any basis for that?
No. There is the idea of trying to bring him into what we call religious Jew. I'll ask you a question, being very serious. What kind of kippah Yitzchak wear? Kippah. Sruga, black velvet. No. He wear kippah, for sure. I'm joking with you. I'm joking. And what I'm saying is that we try to fit him into the tradition, so there is a need. There is also a message, but not necessarily a true or an accurate portray of what exactly happened. Now, I saw you. Just 1 second. In addition to it, even the rabbis knew, you don't want to exaggerate to the extent that people start thinking that it's just all legends. And we all believe Avram existed, Yitzchak existed, Yaakov existed, the Shvatim existed. We believe in all of that. But when you have missing chapters in their lives, you need to fill it in. I'll give you another example, Moshe Rabbeinu. We know Moshe was born, was raised, and then he left Mitzrayim when he was a young man. 16, 18, 20, whatever. Then we know 2 other incidents. He was sitting by the well and he got married. And then he shows up again when he's 80 years old. What did he do for 60 years? Very good. It's not important for the Torah, but it's very important to whom? To the rabbis in the Midrash. You have at least 5 midrashim that I know of. There are many more. There are many more midrashim that I know, but there are 5 different opinions of what exactly did he do in these 60 years. Why is that important? Important because I want to show you that Avram had experience, administrative experience, leadership experience, that people knew about him. He was educated. He was, he meditated? Yeah, he meditated and he was close to God. 5 different reasons I have in order to try to fill up the blanks so when he shows up again at 80, I know a bit about him. This is a fascinating thing because we want to know a little bit about them. Our need. The Torah has a different goal. Very good, a different megama. The Torah is more into, it's even, by the way, when the Torah mentions the Toldot in Parashat Shmot, they mention Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and they stopped after Levi. And all the Mefarshim ask, we have other 9 tribes, you know, what's going on with them? Answer, it's not our concern yet. We just wanted to tell you who are Moshe's parents. And now let's go to Geula. After Geula, I'll tell you about all the other tribes. Again, you see the Megama? I need to fulfill the Megama and we move on. Yes. Okay, very good. You can say that perhaps we have 2 different megamot. The megama of the Torah to tell you, yeah, God chose Avram and see what Avram became. Everyone can become Avraham. The Chazal said, look, Avram, and we'll see that next week, Bezrat Hashem, with the Rambam. I don't want to start the Rambam today because it's long and I want all in one shiur. So, and the rabbis had a different interpretation to it, saying, yeah, everyone Jewish can become Avraham. Avraham is not exactly, he's not a convert, quote unquote. Now, I will tell you one more thing. It's very interesting. Talking about coming from a different background, what do we say on Pesach? How do we start the Agadah? And that's based on the Gemara in Psachim that says, Matchil begnut umesayem beshevach. You start with your disgrace. What's your disgrace? That your Avram's family was not religious. You came from a place of idol worshippers, and then God took you out, or Avram took you out, or whatever it was, but there is that change. And then, what's the Shevach? I brought you to become my servants. So I just want to say that what we saw until now is that definitely the focus of all the Mefarshim that I brought until now, the Rambam will have a different perspective, which will be interesting. But most of the commentators are basically saying what? That the reason for Avraham to be chosen is what? Is his ability and commitment to give his life for what he believed in. He was willing to suffer personally for what he believed in. That's why he was chosen. So if I will put it into modern terminology, I will say hakrava, which is to be able or to be willing to sacrifice yourself for what you believe in, which, by the way, fits to what? To the ultimate test, which is what? Akedat Yitzchak. To sacrifice the most precious thing you have for what you believe in. Okay. Now, you know what? Short introduction to the Rambam. So we don't need to repeat it next week. This idea that Avram was willing to sacrifice his life for what he believed in is very fitting to commentators who were heavily influenced by Christians. If you look at some of the midrashim that were composed in time when Christianity started growing, or later on, don't forget that many of the midrashim if they are not midrashim, if it's Bereshit Rabbah or Vayikra Rabbah, you're talking about early midrashim. Later on, our much later midrashim, some of the midrashim that we mentioned last week are all from, I told you, 11th century, 12th century, 13th century, all heavily influenced Christian countries. The Rambam, who lived well, from Spain he left to Egypt, Israel and Egypt, was surrounded by Muslims. His need to portray Abraham was not the same need that the commentators from Christian Europe had. A. B. What is the most important element, human element, for the Rambam? Sechel. Sechel. Your cognitive abilities. What defines a human being is his sechel. He doesn't say it only in Moreh Nevuchim, but also in Halachot. In Moreh Nevuchim, for example, when he talks about Tzelem Elokim, the image of God, he doesn't talk about, you know, image. He talks about your cognitive abilities to think, to create, to innovate. Therefore, I'm not telling you what the Rambam is going to tell about Avram, but I'm just going to give you a hint. He is going to focus somehow on Avram's cognitive abilities to be able to be mindful to God's existence in the world. So he is not going to focus on the willing to sacrifice, but on the willing to think. And we will see what Avraham did and how it fits to what the Rambam did with Avraham and how it fits to the Rambam's perspective, bichlal, on people who achieve their cognitive abilities. So that's what we will do, Bezrat Hashem, next week.